All righty, here we are, Wednesday night, first teaching of 2023. Is that right? Man, praise God. We got a busy year ahead of us. Want to let you know we're having our Christmas Eve party. No, I'm just kidding. I hate when somebody does that. Somebody goes, well, you know, there's 325 more Christmas, you know, shopping days of Christmas or whatever they say, and I want to strangle them. I'm like, stop. In fact, where were we? We were at the Dollar Tree. We were at the Mega Dollar Tree in Athens a little while back after Christmas, and would you believe they already were putting up Valentine's stuff? I wanted to say, stop. Stop. Come on, don't do that. But anyways, like I say, if you lose a calendar, just go to a local Walmart and they'll tell you what time of year it is. That is for sure. But they got to make the mighty dollar, amen? All right, well, it's Wednesday. I love you. I'm glad we're together. Thank you guys again for all the wonderful season we've had as we turn now towards a new year. And we're going to continue our faith teaching. And we'll finish it when the Lord releases me to, and then we'll go from there and see what he has in store for us. Is that okay? All right, so last time we got together, I'm going to go back into Faith Part 30 and 31, Faith Part 30 and 31, and we're just going to go over some of this just to refresh ourselves, and then we're going to kick off into tonight's teaching. So the first statement I want to bring to your attention is faith leaves a legacy. Faith leaves a legacy. Again, the younger I get, the more I put in perspective my life and that I want to leave a legacy, not only for my children, but also for whoever I impact in life. Now, because you don't stand in front of a camera in a stage setting doesn't mean you don't have impact. You do. You have more impact than you realize. In fact, you have impact that I don't have. Come on, somebody. Your life is being watched. Your Christian walk is being watched. And so if you live by faith, it's being recorded by those. Even those who don't celebrate you, believe me, they know. Yeah, you know that's true because what happens when family members get in trouble? They go to you, either for prayer or a strong arm or a good shoulder to cry on. They go to you, and that's the way it is. So faith leaves a legacy. Faith is prepaid, but you must be willing to accept it. It's prepaid. Jesus paid it all, and he put it in this word, and we have to be willing to accept it. It's already done. Then we pay the interest. We pay the payment, don't we, in a way. But faith is prepaid. It's there for us. Again, we talked about faith has a mother. It has a birthing. There's a birthing of faith in our lives. Somebody paid the price for you to have faith. We know Jesus ultimately paid the price, the greatest sacrificial price, but somebody somewhere has prayed for you, and somebody somewhere is still praying for you. And never reject prayer. Say, man, pray for me. Pray hard. Pray every day. And don't pray soft prayers for me. Pray hard prayers. Lord, get them. Help them. Yeah, Lord, help that knucklehead. Get that hard. I looked over at Mark when I said, I mean, y'all know what I'm talking about. Sometimes we got to have that boot. We got to have that push over, if you will. And that's what prayer does sometimes. So faith has a mother. Faith has a birthing to it. Faith operates in precision, and then faith has a sound and a song. So we're in 1 Samuel 1, 2 through 28. We're not going to get into all of this, but we know that Hannah was barren, and her what would you call her? Her sister, friend, wife, whatever it was, a roommate. She was the one having all the babies. And then she begins to cry out. And so faith begins to work in her life, and she increased her prayers. You can go back to that. Again, it's all in 1 Samuel. She increased her prayers. And that's what happens when you're barren sometimes, and you're barren sometimes on purpose. See, many times the devil will get us so condemned thinking we're barren because God hates us, we're no good, we're not good Christians, we didn't pray enough, we didn't fast enough, we didn't read enough of the Bible, whatever it is. And we get condemned, and we think God's not with us, but God is for us. What he's trying to do is get you to dig deeper to get that seed. He wants you to dig deeper, and then there's a thing called timing. In due season, Christ was born. In due season, he died for the ungodly. And in due season, he went to the cross. In due season, he rose from the dead. He's coming back when? In due season. In his season. It's not my season. You know, everybody's going to get it wrong. It's in his season. And so we have to learn that. And that's what she did. She dug deep. And God, we believe, allowed her to be barren for that season in order to bring forth this Samuel. He needed a Samuel, but he had to have a Hannah. He needed a Samuel, but he needed a Hannah. He needed a willing vessel. If it was more of it, look, he could have done it through the other woman, but he didn't. He did it through her. There was something special about Hannah. Remember, she was favored, right? She was graced, and she was L number one in her husband's eyes. We know that. All right, so we went on verse 18. A prophetic word can change you. A prophetic word can change you. Definitely will change you. Verse 19, church and, they went to church and then the afternoon delight. I forgot about that. Yeah, we'll skip that there in my trivia. Verse 20, Samuel, whose name means heard of God, he was dedicated to God. Remember, he was weaned, so she had him for a long while. Some scholars say up to 12 years old before he can go into the temple and be released from her. So again, not only did she cry out to have that seed, but she kept her promise to God. God kept his promise to her, and she kept her promise to God. And a beautiful thing took place. But could you imagine the emotions of, number one, what she'd been through by being barren? Because being barren in that time is not too much of a stigma today in America. It is. People who really want to have children, they struggle and they're upset about it. Of course they are. But it was more in the culture then. If you didn't have a child, I mean, there was something wrong with you. You're supposed to be reproducing. You're supposed to replenish the earth. And that was a part of their whole culture. Again, today it's not so much, though it is very hurtful. But she went through that. Then she gets the baby. Then she has to give it up. So again, sometimes that's what faith will do. God will allow you to have something. He'll give you that baby. He'll give you that gift. But then there's that day when you have to give that gift back to him. And that gift is what he's looking for. And you know what? He'll bless you even more beyond your imaginations as you do that. So she went and did all those things. Remember, she was drunk, they said. She was drunk, you know, and she was really crying out and interceding and all that. So it's a great, 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 great story. Now let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 2, 1 through 10. We only touched on this for just a minute before we got interrupted by all the holiday stuff, okay? So we're going to hit this here. I only went to verse 2, but here, Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoiceth in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies because I rejoice in thy salvation. Man, she was fired up. Remember, faith has a song. Faith has a praise. If you're really walking in faith, you'll have a song in your heart. I didn't say everything's beautiful and it's a clear day at noon. I didn't say everything's just wonderful in your life, but if you have faith, you have a song about you. Why? Because you're headed somewhere. You know that God has given you the seed. You know you're pregnant with the seed. You know you're pregnant with the promise. You may not have it in your hand, but you're going to get it. But see, she was in that position where she had it, and she released her praise. You know, I think a lot of times that God tests us. Watch this. God will test us by giving us what we've prayed for and then see what we'll do with it. And see, sometimes we minimize what God has given us as, oh, that's just a small thing. That's just a small thing. Honey, if you get a buck, if you find a dollar, if you find 25 cents on the ground, that's a good reason to shout. Now, people think that's crazy, but I have given the Lord praise for every penny I've ever found. Thank God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, that's on tails. Don't touch it. Give it to me. I'll flip it over in my pocket. Hallelujah. You know. Believe that junk, Sarah. You know what? Whatever comes my way, it comes from God. I'm like, woohoo! And you know what? He loves that. He enjoys that because he's like, look at him, look at her. They appreciate it. See, a lot of people don't appreciate life, and then when you don't appreciate life, you really don't have a song because you have nothing to be thankful for. I'm thankful to be alive. I don't know about you all. I don't know what you've been through, but I've been through some stuff. All right, watch this. Next verse. And it blesses God. Look, there is none holy as the Lord. There is none besides thee. Neither is there any rock like our God. I mean, she's getting it. She's like, man, you're it. That's it. You're the numero uno. You did it. All right, next verse. Talk no more so exceedingly proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth. In other words, don't be prideful, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. She's like, I get this thing, man. I understand this. I cried with every fiber in my body to get this seed. I got the seed, and I carried that seed for 9 months, man. I went through the pain and near-death experience of delivering this baby. I weaned this baby, and I'm giving it over to the Lord, and I'm praising him for everything. Woo, everything that's within me, he delivered me through it all. Now, again, this sounds crazy, but faith doesn't make sense sometimes, because it ought to be a song of sorrow. Oh, Lord, here you go. What you gave me, I give back to you. That's how we are, isn't it? Watch when you give tithe sometimes. Here you go. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. God got you the job. He got you the money. He got you through the week. He got you through everything. And then it's like, you know, so hard to give it back. Instead of just saying, God, thank you for my, you ought to be throwing. We ought to do this one time. Just throw it in the bucket. Just thank you, Jesus. Go long. 50 cents wouldn't go far for some, but you know what I'm talking about. Just, bam, Lord, here you go. Why? Because she's pumped up, man. Look at the words. Next verse. This is a song. She's singing it. The bowels of the mighty men are broken, and they that stumble are girded with strength. She said, look, man, you don't have to be strong and mighty, and if you fall, you're going to be strengthened. God's got you, man. Doesn't matter. God takes the weak things of the world, the foolish things of the world, to confound the strong and the wise. And she's saying that in her humility as a woman. She's like, man, I couldn't do anything. I couldn't have to get pregnant. I couldn't do anything. God did it, man. Look how good he is. We ought to learn from this. Next verse. This is what faith does. They that were full have hired out themselves for bread, and they that were hungry ceased, so that the barren hath both borne seven, and she that hath many children is waxed feeble. Again, she's praising. She's saying, look what the Lord has done. Next verse. The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. I mean, she gets it, man. She gets it. She understands. Who's control of life? God. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and he lifteth up. He does it all. She's basically saying, I've been down to the pit where I felt like I was going to die in intercession. But then he rose me up. He raised me up. He rose me from the dead. He raised me from the dead. He brought me back up. He brought me to the place where I wanted to be. Isn't that faith? That's what faith is doing. Faith is singing, and that song is for us today and for probably for eternity. It's the word of God. Look what he's done. We got to learn that in faith. And this year in 2023, those watching, you got to do this. Those listening, you got to do this. You got to learn how to praise God. Praise him in the pain. Praise him in the suffering. Praise him in the problems and the persecution and all the things that are coming. Praise him. It sounds crazy, doesn't it? But that's what faith does. You have to. If you don't, you're going to go nuts. If you don't, you're going to collapse. If you don't, you're going to be overwhelmed with grief. You're going to be overwhelmed with depression. This is the antidote for people that are going to go through some stuff. All right, next verse. Hannah's letting us know. He raises up the poor out of the dust. Yoo-hoo! And lifted up the beggar from the dunghill. That's pretty good. Come on now, don't you think? He's like, get out of the garbage can, boy. I'm your daddy. I'm your God. I supply all your needs according to the riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Throw down that can of spam, unless you like spam, to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. Woohoo! For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them. I mean, you can't get any bigger or better than that. So when the world's crumbling, the world's shaking, and people are freaking out and everything's happening, my God is a pillar to the world. And my faith is a part of that pillar. I put my faith in the pillars of God. Now, again, it seems easy on this side of Easy Street and things are going well or what have you. But this is her song after going through all of it. And we got to learn that. We got to have that song. All right, next verse. I'm talking to me too. He will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness, for by strength shall no man prevail. How do you like that? You don't have to be the strongest one in the room here, have the most talent. You just got to have the most faith. Next verse. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to what? Pieces. Out of heaven shall he thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength unto his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. Man, she just lays it out. She prophesies. She declares. She decrees, man, this is the prophetic song that I have. It's poetic, but it's prophetic. It's a prayer, and it's a song of Hannah. And I'm telling you, that's exactly the song that you and I must possess in our hearts. What is she doing? What is she doing? Here's exactly what she's doing. She is acknowledging who God is. And at the end of the day, that is really what faith is. Faith is acknowledging who God is and what God can do by his word. I don't know God outside of his word. So if I know what his word says about him, then I know who he is. And if I know who he is, I can have faith in him. It's that simple. A child can understand this, but, you know, a theologian, he'll get you all confused, and Mr. Spiritual, Stunning Steve, will stand up, and you'll say, oh, I can never become that spiritual. I can never be like him. I bet he walks on water. No, he sinks. No, we struggle. We're in the flesh. We're trying to accomplish what God wants us to do. All of us are trying to become what God wants us to be. But the key is understanding by faith who he is and what he does and what he can do and what he has done. And when you put your trust in that, then that faith develops inside of you. And then after time, after trial, after season, after sacrifice, after battle, after fight, after whatever you've gone through, each time you become stronger in your faith. It's an amazing thing. Faith, again, will never, never be fully taught until we get to heaven. It's impossible. And there's been so many books written about it. So many great men and women of God have done that. So let's move back to Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to go back to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32. We're going to finish out that chapter tonight, I think. Don't get mad at me. I'm not lying if we don't, okay? I'm hoping to get done with that tonight and then move into some other aspects of faith. Is that all right? Unless I get directed in another way. So go to Hebrews 11:32, and I'll give you some faith points to write down. But basically, we're going to come down to the end there because we're talking about all those greats. So we're talking about here at the end of David and of Samuel and of the prophets. So we're going to get into these next few verses here about the great exploits, the great things that happen through these men of faith and women of faith. But here's what I want you to write down. We're going to unpack this tonight. Hopefully we get it all done. But faith works when you work it. Faith works when you work it. You can't have faith without works. We haven't got into that aspect of faith just yet. We're going to later on. But faith works when you work it. You got to work this thing. You got to work this thing. Unfortunately, the way you work your faith is to go through trials. But that's okay. All right? Here's another statement. Faith is transforming. It's a little long. Faith is transforming. It will change your natural into supernatural. Faith is transforming. It will change your natural into supernatural. There's a guy I used to know in Bible school. Every time I'd see him, I'd say, man, how you doing? He said, I'm doing super, naturally. I'm like, okay, that's a little weird and corny, but that's how he felt. He was supernatural, man, supernaturally. So faith is transforming. It will change your natural into super. People say all kinds of stuff. Natural into supernatural. Here's another one. Faith is the greatest gift. Listen to this. Faith is the greatest gift given to man. Without it, man cannot live and operate in kingdom power. Faith is the greatest gift given to man. Without it, man cannot live and operate in kingdom power. Because everything in the kingdom is powered by faith, everything. Everything in the Christian walk, Christian life, is powered by faith. It's not powered by your words or your good thoughts or positive feelings or kumbaya or anything else people come up with. The kingdom is operated in and through and by faith. Okay? Let me read it to you one more time. Faith is the greatest gift given to man. Well, no, salvation is the greatest gift. If you don't have faith, you can't get saved. He gave you faith, saving faith, to get saved. Of course it's the cross. Of course it's the blood. Of course Jesus. But the element, the key that unlocks it, the ignition point, is faith. So faith is the greatest gift given to men. Without it, no man can live and operate in the kingdom power. We can't do what God wants us to do without faith. It's impossible. If we try to do it on the strength of our own abilities and our talents, we can only go so far. Yeah, we can do things. Man is incredible. God gave man an incredible gift of building and vision and things. Look how many things have been built in the world without God, if you will, with man's knowledge that God truly gave him. But man, you know, doesn't acknowledge God, and he has skills, and he could build big buildings and all these different things. But at the end of the day, those things won't last. Only the things of the kingdom and through faith will they last. So it's the greatest gift given to men. So let's go now to Hebrews 11:33. Let's go ahead and unpack all those statements, get down to the nitty-gritty if we can. So who through faith subdued kingdoms? They subdued kingdoms, and they wrought righteousness and obtained promises and stopped the mouths of lions. We're going to unpack all of these momentarily, but these great men, these great women, they begin by saying they subdued kingdoms. How? Through faith. The kingdoms of the world. In other words, they could not implement the kingdom of God and oppose it upon these kingdoms without faith. We can't take dominion without faith. We can't reach the world without faith. We can't touch the nations of the world, the things we want to do from this church and what you want to do with your family and what you want to do in your personal life. You can't do it without faith. And again, faith in the simplest definition to me is trust. And trusting God and speaking his word. And saying, God, I trust you for my family in 2023. This is the year my family gets saved. I won't have any other way. They're going to be saved. I trust you. Even when it seems like they're going backwards. Come on now. Because sometimes the bow, look, when you pull up the arrow, you got to pull that bow back. It goes back, doesn't it? But that's actually strength and power to go forward. And sometimes in our lives, we feel like we're going back. But God's like, just hang on, I'm about to launch you. I'm about to let you go. And all of a sudden it's like, whee, here we go. You ever been like that before? Things just seem horrible, crumbling, and next thing you know, you're like a rocket, man. God's doing great things. Well, that's how faith operates. So let's look at this. Let's unpack this with subduing the kingdoms. Go to Joshua chapter 12. So here's where you're going to have to write down. You got to turn your pages a little bit, and we'll slow down, go fast type of thing. Okay? Let's just look at some of this. Joshua chapter 12. We're not going to read the whole thing. Now, these are the kings of the land of which the children of Israel smote, possessed their land on the other side of Jordan towards the rising of the sun. Take your time and read this. What happened? They went and they destroyed how many? The kings. They subdued. How? Through faith. Joshua, I've given you this land. The children of Israel, I've given you this land. This is your land to take, but you got a problem. You got giants. You got a problem. You got other people who live there. But guess what? That's a problem only in your eyes and in your heart. You've already won it. You just got to go to battle for it. So they subdued kingdoms. Why does that matter for you and I? Because there's the kingdom of darkness we have to subdue in our lives. First of all, get the things straightened out in our own life, our own battlefield, and then go for it against others and then the enemy in our community and family and what have you. Subdued kingdoms by faith. Well, didn't they go to battle and didn't they, you know, do all this warfare? Sure. See, here's the part where we don't want to talk about it. It cost them something. See, a lot of times in Christianity, especially America, we look at it as faith is just something I say and God gives it to me. Because he just owes it to me. No, faith is not a genie in a bottle. Faith is you're going to have to still go to war. You're still going to have to go to warfare. But he's going to give you the faith to win. He gives you the faith to conquer. He gives you the faith to subdue. That's why you have to go back. That's why Hebrews 11 put that there. So you go back and look at the stories of Joshua and the others we're going to read about how they subdued these kings. And a lot of times, read these stories, a lot of times they were outnumbered. There was no way. And to be truthful with you, many times we're outnumbered too. But with God, we win. And we have to recognize that. And that's what we're going to need these coming years that are coming up this year and the next years until the coming of the Lord. We're going to have tenacity, bulldog tenacity, bulldog faith to where we grab hold of this thing and we're not letting go. You're not shaking me. You're not shaking me with the collapse of an economy. You're not shaking me with war. You're not shaking me with anything or even prophecies that come out of people's mouth. I believe the word of God, and I'm going to subdue that kingdom. Whatever it is, we're going to subdue it. You got to do that, because if you don't, you're going to lose. Go to 2 Samuel 8. Let's look at this real quick. Is it okay if I do it this way? I just don't want to say, you know, we could do it real fast, and we go home here in a minute. But if you would just take this and read this. And after that came to pass that David smote the Philistines and so he, what? He subdued them. He did what? He subdued them. He went in there and he did the business. Again, did he have to go to battle? Yes. Again, one of the misnomers, and please don't misunderstand, we don't go and get swords and start slashing people and, you know, whatever. Go to your bank and just start crashing the windows in with stones and I'm taking dominion over my debt. We're not talking about that. But there are times when you have to go into battle through intercessory prayer or you have to walk a few miles of emptiness and barrenness in order, you know, and that would be your battle. Don't get me wrong. A spiritual warfare is not a natural warfare thing. For we don't wrestle against what? Flesh and blood. But we take these spiritual principles of natural events and say, look, David was outnumbered. In other words, David didn't speak, I'm David, I beat up Goliath, now you must bow. Fat chance. Right? There's people in spiritual warfare and churches that do that. They say, I speak this. Oh, yeah, okay, you do have certain power in God where he wants you to just speak the word. I get that. But sometimes you need to speak the word and pay your electric bill. Pay your tithes. Speak the word, but go to work. If you can, if you got a job, you have to put that thing together. And so that's part of the spiritual warfare. I don't know about you, but getting up and punching a clock is spiritual warfare. Ask the children going to school. Come on now. I mean, I watch Pastor Jennifer, she battles the spirit of the snooze button. And she earns it. She deserves it. She wins. Come on now. How many all, you know, all of a sudden, whatever comes on the radio, you're like, bah! 15 minutes later, you know, whatever. You know, traffic comes on. Bah! Whatever. It's still a battle. You got to get up. He subdued them. Again, I'm not going to read the whole thing. You got to go. you got to go do it. So go back to 32 or 33, if you would, Joshua. I know it's going to be a lot on you going back and forth, but it's the easiest way to do it. So through faith is subdued kingdoms. You can read all about that. You can read all about the great warriors in God who subdued kingdoms. Then it says wrought righteousness or brought about righteousness or obtained righteousness. Can faith do that? Yeah. Faith can bring you righteousness with God. So it's not how high your hair is or how long your skirt is. Come on, somebody, how loose your jeans are. Pants on the ground, pants on the ground. It's none of those things, though they are a part of holiness and righteousness. But this righteousness is a faith, that walking by faith can bring you right standing with God. I can't emphasize enough without maybe even sounding kind of corny, but God loves it when you walk by faith. He does, because he's like, look, he believes me. I honestly believe in the world that's so messed up and so wicked and the church that's so backslidden and all the stuff that's going on. I don't know if he leans over the Gabriel or leans over the Jesus or whatever, but I just have this feeling, and this is just the way I look at things. Look at, he believes me. And all that darkness, they believe. Look at Rosie. That's my girl. You know, I believe God does that. Because faith will bring you what? Favor. And then everybody in the church gets mad when you get blessed. And it's like, hey, man, I brought about righteousness by just walking by faith. Righteousness, again, is right standing with God. It's right standing with him and going exactly the way he wants you to go. And how do you do that? You do that by faith. And watch this, you do it by obeying him. It amazes me when children do wrong, they want to be blessed. And it's like, you did wrong. You're not supposed to be blessed, you're supposed to be disciplined. And then out of that discipline, you learn, and then you get blessed. Because any other way, you're spoiled. That's exactly what it is. And we just have to learn that. And I had to learn that the hard way growing up. You all were perfect, but I wasn't. Genesis 15:6. Let's go to Genesis 15:6. Genesis 15:6. So you got to learn righteousness. So he believed in the Lord, who? Abraham, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Now again, you have to go back for the whole story because I'm not going to do it. But he believed. Abraham believed in the Lord. So what is that? Trust, right? Is that faith? Yes, and because of that, God gave him righteousness, or a title of righteousness, or said, attaboy. He accounted it to him and said, here, in your account, Abraham, you're righteous with me. That is so awesome. And you know what that means? God, when he says you're right standing, that means you're right standing with God. Now watch this. Here, let me give you the flip side. You're right standing with God? But that also means God's right standing with you. Right standing next to you. Right standing around you. You're right together. Right on. Come on, somebody. That's an old term, right on. You know, you don't hear that much anymore. Everybody in the 80s like, right on, baby. I'm like, but come on, that's what he looks at. He says, man, right on. You're right on the spot. You're right on the money. I love you, man. Come on, let's hang out together. Abraham was what? A friend of God. See, we complex God too much. We make him he's not that complex. He's awesome. Though he is beyond our imagination, the complexity of who he is, but he makes himself so simplistic that even a child can walk hand in hand. It wasn't the children Jesus rebuked. He rebuked the disciples and everybody else who were bah humbug. He's like, man, bring them over here. Put them on my knee. Hey, how you doing, buddy? Right? Right standing with God. That's what faith does. I want to be right standing with God. I'm not going to do everything perfect. And he's going to have to jerk my chain and pull me back. He's going to have to get me by the nap of the neck sometimes. Say, ho, 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 ho. I'm over here, boy. You over there. You ain't right with me. You get what I'm saying? Not, you know, major sin, just do something stupid, you know, or whatever. Right standing with God, righteousness. That's a powerful truth right there. So I'm going to keep you, Joshua, from going back. But the next thing was they obtained promises. Let's do that so I'm not wearing Joshua's fingers out. They obtained promises. Go to Numbers 14:30. They obtained promises. Who's he talking about? All these great characters, all these great people of faith, all of our heroes. Okay? My heroes were not just cowboys, man. Doubtless, ye shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save who? Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. Those two. Why? Because they believed the report of the Lord. Is that right? They obtained the promise. Numbers 14:30. They obtained the promise. They got it. Why? Because they believed when no one else would believe. I truly believe with all of my heart in this year, in the coming years, as we move into tribulation, we move into dark days and in many things that are coming at us, there will be such a contrast between the fake puppet plastic banana church and the true people who have walked by faith, who have really counted on God, who really did everything they could to attain the promises, and the promises of God will be manifested through that church, through that people, through that called out ones. And it's going to be an amazing thing. And people will know it, and they will know that you've been true to God, and you'll obtain the promise of God. I'm telling you, it's coming. You watch and see. God will reward you for walking with him in this hour. Because I'm going to tell you right now, it's easy to throw our hands up and say, forget, man. This is crazy. Just forget. I'm going to join the world. I'm going to do like all the other churches do. We're just going to, you know, let's party down, man. It's too much stress trying to live right and keep my eyes straight and, you know, my heart clean and everything. But pastor, forget it, man. Hey, a lot of people are doing that. They're going to these easy peasy churches, lemon squeezy. Just hang out and do whatever, man. Jesus, I know him. Yeah, I love him. And doing nothing as far as righteousness and fighting the good fight of faith and walking in the Spirit and praying in the Holy Ghost and interceding and giving and all the things you're doing. They want the easy way. But I'm going to tell you, it's going to be a hard way for them. And the promises of God are going to be obtained by us and those who walk this way all over the world. You watch and see. It's coming. All right, number four. They stopped the mouths of lions. Go to Daniel chapter 6. They stopped the mouths of lions. Let's look at this, and I'm not lying either. Oh, man, come on. And it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. Why? What happened? Let's see verse 2. I won't get into the whole story. And these three presidents of whom Daniel was first, the princes might be given accounts of them, and the king should have no damage. Read the whole thing. Talks about who? Daniel. Daniel where? In the lion's den. Now, in VeggieTales story, they had pizza whenever they looked down to roll the stone away. Remember that? Is that right? Was Daniel and the lions having pizza? Yeah, I remember that. But that's not biblical. I don't know what they had. It might have been pita bread and hummus, but I'm not sure. Is anybody? But what happened? Daniel, what? He survived it. He was in the lion's den. How did he? Listen to what the Hebrew writer is saying. Paul is saying what? He subdued lions by how? Faith. Faith did it. See, what you don't recognize, and I don't always recognize, how many lions have we subdued in our walk with Christ? I don't mean natural lions necessarily. How many spiritual lions have attacked you? Or grizzly bears? Or pythons? Or cobras? Or whatever? We get attacked all the time and things we don't even know. And our faith in God has protected us. I highly recommend everybody listen to me and that knows me, you should be praying every time you strap yourself in that car. Plead the blood of Jesus before you ever pull out of that parking lot or as soon as your wheels start turning. Say, Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus over my trip today. Let the warring ministering garden angels shout about me. What did you do this right then? You subdued the mouths of lions. Because the enemy, listen, If God is staying awake, watch this. If God is staying awake to bless you, then the devil staying awake find a way to curse you. He's finding a way to knock you out. So you got to beat him at the punch and get up and praise God. And start your day. No matter how you're feeling, you might feel like terrible. But you're like, look, I'm not worried about my feelings. I'm going to subdue you. I'm going to tell you to shut up. That's powerful. So you got to go read Daniel. So they stopped the mouths of lions. I don't know how that happened, but it happened by faith. We know it happened supernaturally, but God used the faith of Daniel. Daniel said, I'm not going to bow. I'm not going to that image. I'm not doing anything. I'm praying to my God. It quenched the fire. Go to Daniel 3. It quenched the fire. Well, Daniel's mentioned twice there, isn't he? Daniel chapter 3. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits and the breadth thereof 6 cubits, and he set it up in the plain of Dura and the province of where? Babylon. Next verse. That's for Sunday. All right. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king set to gather together the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, the deputies, and all the rulers of the province to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. So we know the rest of the story. Daniel didn't do it. What did he do? He opened up his window and he prayed. He was pretty loud about it, wasn't he? Nah, 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 what are you going to do? Throw me in the fire. Doo, doo, doo. Yeah, they did. They threw him in the fire. But there was a fourth man in that fire. Come on, somebody. It was Jesus. It was the Son of God. It's the Christophany, the appearance of the Lord. But it says, how did he do it? He did it by faith. See, God did it supernaturally. He wasn't wearing Nomax, you know, which is fireproof, fire-retarded material. He wasn't wearing that. He didn't do anything. He didn't bring a squirt gun with him in his blouse and shot it all. You know, he didn't. What did he do? He said, by faith, I'm not bowing. And that faith did what? It activated the supernatural of God into his natural. I'm telling you. More things happen for us supernaturally than we realize. And one of our problems, again, on earth is we walk around with feelings and what we feel, and we bump into life and this hurts and I'm hungry and I'm tired. And we're all emotional and we feel things. But the truth of the matter is the fourth dimension, the dimension of the spirit, the dimension of the supernatural is more real than this atmosphere. And more things are happening around us and happening to us than we really realize. But because we don't see angels and we don't hear the flapping of wings and the crashing of demons and, come on, the swords clashing and all these different things, we don't think life is supernatural. But it's very supernatural. Because, again, that truck was designed to smash you today. Come on now. If the enemy could, your brake lines would fail. That tornado that should have or could have came didn't come. Or whatever. We can go through this line of things that could happen. But our lives are supernatural. It is more real in the supernatural than it is right here. But faith recognizes that. And Daniel knew that. He saw the fourth man. Watch this. He saw the fourth man in the fire before the fourth man ever got there. How? By faith. It doesn't say that in Scripture, but we know he did it because he prayed to his God on the threat of death. He said, you're going to have to kill me, but I'm praying to the only one God, Jehovah. So he already saw his deliverer. That's what we have to do. We have to see our deliverer in 2023. You have to see our deliverer in all of the things we're doing in life, negative reports, bad things, whatever. I see my deliverer. You want to bring me fire? I'm bringing faith. Come on now. You bring all the fire you want. I'm bringing faith. The faith is going to win. They escaped swords. Go to 1 Samuel 17. Man, that clock ain't right back there, is it? Man. 1 Samuel 17. Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle and were gathered together at Shokoth, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Shokoth, Azekah, and that place right there. FSDMing. FSDMing. Okay, what happened? We know what happened. The battle happened, man. We read about it. King David, awesome David, little boy David. What'd he do? He whacked Goliath. He whacked him, man. He threw that rock, hit him in the forehead, and went right into his skull. Isn't that amazing? And escaped the swords. We know about the battles and all those different things. Exodus 18:4. You know what? I gotta have to stop here in a minute because it's not gonna do you justice. It's not gonna be right if I just crush this all in here. And the name of the other was Eleazar for the God of my father. He said was my help and delivered me from who? The sword of Pharaoh. Read about the deliverance from the sword of Pharaoh. Who did it? Faith did it. Again, we have to recognize and realize that with everything we're going through and we're going to go through, faith is what's going to get us through. Finally, I'm just going to go to number 7, and we'll do the rest next week. I'm sorry. And we'll go from there. I tried so hard. They were made strong. They were made strong. Those two are Hebrews 11:11 and then Romans 4:19. Go to Romans 4:19, and then I'm going to get out of your way. Rats, I thought I had time. Man. And that's Hebrews. You got it up there? Okay, so we're talking about what? They were made strong. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. Who are we talking about? Abraham. When he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Come on, somebody. Come on. What happened there? Well, we know what happened there. They were made strong. Strong for what? To conceive. Strong, watch this, not only to conceive, but the strong for the process. Think about it now. This is what the writer is telling us, this is what the apostle is telling us, that they were made strong for the whole process of giving birth. And by faith, we can be strong in the power of God to go through the process of life and to give birth to what God has for us, the promises that he's already laid out. And I'm telling you, there's a reason why. We're not just doing this to waste time. There's a reason why God is imparting this information and this revelation to us during this season of our lives. Because we're going to have that pregnant faith, that faith that's inside of us to give birth to the promises of God. Because, hey, nobody else is going to do it for us. If you're waiting on the government to help you out, or Bishop so-so or whatever denomination to help you, they're not going to be able to help you. You better find faith in God yourself. Well, that's all the time I got for tonight, man. It went by way, way too fast. I think we're going to start at 5 next week. Let's just start at 5, something like that. Somebody said, you'll be all by yourself. That's all right. We'll get it all in there. We're not going to rush it. It's too good of information to do that. I love you guys. Appreciate you. Father, thank you for this opportunity to minister faith. And I ask, Lord, what we taught tonight, we would just rehearse it in our hearts and our spirits so we'd get deep down into us and become an indelible mark within us. And then it'll just be a natural reflex. Every time we go through some, faith pops out. Every time we get hit, faith pops out. And we speak faith and we speak life. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Guys, I love you. I will see you Sunday in Jesus' name. Bye. Blessings.